new sermon series entitled Comma. I'm so excited for it. Could you just shake someone's hand? I know we said hi already, but could you just shake someone's hand, say good morning, and I'm excited you're here for Comma. Good morning.
I'm excited to be here for Comma.
Yeah. You said Donald, right?
Yes, sir.
Donald, okay. Thelma. Well, we are starting a new series, comma. Everyone say comma. Yes, that's correct. The punctuation mark. We have a giant comma sitting off the stage. It's not a nine. My son came in this morning, or when we were putting up, and he's like, oh, I like the nine. Like, it's a comma. In case you're wondering, comma. Commas can drastically change sentence structure. Some of the most famous examples are, let's eat, grandma, versus let's eat, grandma. A comma can change the sentence drastically. Listen to this one. I love cooking my dogs and my family. Versus, I love cooking my dogs and my family. There's one more example that I found that was pretty interesting. Maine's labor laws state that anyone who works more than 40 hours a week is entitled to 1.5 pay, except for certain exemptions. Here's the applicable portion of the law. The canning, processing, preserving, freezing, drying, marketing, storing, packing for shipment, or distribution of. Then it says, 1, agricultural produce, 2, meat and fish product, and 3, perishable foods. Sounds clear cut. But take a look at the first sentence. The suit argued that since packing for shipment and distribution were not separated by a comma, that made them a single activity exempt from overtime pay. Do you know it cost the state of Maine $15 million because of a missing comma? That's a big little oversight. I wanted to start off this sermon series with Paul. He started off as Saul and then became Paul. His life was really separated into two main parts. Part one, bearing people that became Christians. And part two, bearing people to become Christians. Part one is supported in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 2. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Verse 2, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were in the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So what really changed in Paul's life? That's a pretty drastic contrast. Trying to bury anyone who's a Christian and then changing around to burying people to become Christians? Drastic. He took a major pause in the middle of his life. He really was stopped a lot by God. And he had to take a pause. And from that divine encounter with God, he completely changed who he was. Shifted his life purpose. It was so drastic, it even changed his name. His entire identity was turned around because he gained purpose through a pause. This entire sermon series is based on the idea of a comma. It's a deliberate pause, and it demonstrates that there's more to come. And in Christianity, when we take a deliberate pause with God, our latter is so much better than our prior. these divine encounters, these moments with God, I promise, change lives. It is so different. I am so beyond different from my encounter with God. And not just that, it's not just the deliberate encounters when you accept Jesus into your heart, but this sermon series is really going to lay out multiple ways that you pause with God. The times when you stop and have discipleship with God, the time that you really spend that in-depth time with the Lord. I can't get sidetracked because I have to keep going. I want to share so much more of what's to come in the sermon series, but I got to keep it moving. I know, no spoilers. I tend to do that. I'm really excited. This sermon series is really setting up not only what the intentional pause that we take as Christians with God, but it's actually leading towards what we're doing as a church. We're launching our purpose journey at the end of this. What that consists of, it's purpose journey workshops. It's a way to help people to take pauses in their life to understand that they have a purpose and to equip them with that purpose and to launch them with that purpose into their life. This whole sermon series is a setup for you to have a pause just like Paul did. Because ultimately, we want to be part of the kingdom of God, and we want to see the kingdom of God flourish how he intended it to happen. So jumping in, number one, why pause? Why pause? Straight out of the scripture in Acts, I'm pretty much inside of Acts chapter 9 this whole sermon today. If you want to flip there in your Bibles, whether your page rustles or it glows, you can join together in Acts 9. A, gain purpose. Why pause? Because you gain purpose. You will get something from God when you take the time to spend time with him. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing the missing puzzle pieces start to fit together, and you understand the grand scheme purpose of your life. Have you ever tried to do a puzzle when you have the box laid out in front of you? You know, you can kind of get pieces where they need to go, right? It's kind of like a cheat sheet. Have you ever tried doing a puzzle upside down with no box? Has anyone ever tried that just for fun? Craig, yeah. You tried it? My son really enjoys it. He likes forcing all of us to try to do that, and it eventually just ends up getting right side up. But it feels lost, confusing, and just frustrating because you don't know what the picture is. It doesn't quite make sense. You can kind of grasp at pieces and guess around, and maybe over a lifetime you'll get it put together. It's kind of like what this purpose series is about, this comma series. Taking pause will give you the box of a puzzle. It'll give you the image. It will lay out how you fit into this beautiful design that God has. You gain purpose. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul. Ananias is a Christian living in a town that Paul was heading towards to go kill and lock up. There's a little tension going on. They know he's coming. Ananias is scared, but God says, don't worry, I've spoken to Saul. He's good now. But he's in prison, my friends. I don't think I want to trust this man in my home. Because if he goes to my home, he could see my family and my friends. Are you sure it's not a plot? Ananias is a little scared, but he listens to God. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul was struck and blind on the road, but I also want to say it's not physical blind that God was about to heal. He was about to open up his spiritual eyes to see that there's more at play on this earth. Christianity is growing. Jesus is abounding. And he's going to unlock his eyes. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You gain purpose. You start seeing vision over your life. You start seeing how you fit into this puzzle piece. And you gain the authority through the Holy Spirit to accomplish it. B, Gain strength. Acts chapter 9:18-19 says, instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. When we pause in life, when we take a pause, when we intentionally pause, we start gaining our strength back. There's nothing more tiresome than not knowing what you're doing or why you're doing it. Like, have you ever, like, you don't need to raise your hand, especially maybe if your boss is here or something, you know? Or, so, I don't know, I'm just so not. But have you ever worked for someone that just says to do it, and you're like, but why? Because I said so, just do it. And day in, day out, and you're doing the same thing over and over, and you just don't get it? And that is so frustrating and tiring. You know? But when we gain purpose through pausing, all of a sudden we start knowing why. We start gaining strength, because strength comes from knowing. Strength comes from hearing God. Strength comes from knowing that God is going to supply all our needs. Strength also comes by knowing that we're in this together. Tiresome and weariness comes from being alone and isolated. But when other people are in the same boat as us, you can start raising up the energy level. You can start encouragement. You can start building off each other. And see, gain redemption. Acts 9:19-22 says, Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? They asked. And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to a leading priest? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Redemption. Did you know, when you pause, it's not like God erases your past and all of a sudden he's like, okay, I'm going to give you something brand new to do. You don't have any experience in it. You know, that's not really how God works. God loves taking our past sins, hurts, frustrations, angers, turmoils, storms, whatever you want to call it, turning upside down and reusing your past hurts to bless the people around you. Grow the kingdom. Any past hurts that the devil may have stirred up in your life, it's not meant to cause you pain. It's meant to actually cause him pain. Use as redemption through the blood of Jesus to turn anything that happened in your past to grow the kingdom in your future. That's what happens when you gain a pause in your life. That's what happens when purpose happens. Redemption swaps your past into your future. Just like with Paul. It's exactly his story. He was burying people who were Christians, and God said, I'm just going to flip it a little bit. And I'm going to have you start burying people to become Christians. We be buried with Christ so the Holy Spirit can raise us up again. It's just such a little tweak, but I love how God works. Number one was why pause. Number two is who pauses. Who pauses? Don't miss this one, please, because you can easily transform a pause into your own way of resting. Pausing is not resting. Please don't get these confused. Because a lot of times I did a rest sermon series a while back. And we can easily contort rest into isolation. Pausing is not resting because of who's involved with pausing. Acts chapter 9, verse 17-19. I'm going to read it again. So Ananias went and found Saul. How many people do we have in the equation so far? Ananias, Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus," okay, we just added another person. "The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Every single time you pause, there are three people involved at least, at a minimum. A, our God. Our God is involved. Please don't be telling me you're going to go pause and take a break from life and avoid God for a little while. Because that's not a pause. A pause is a moment where you spend some deep time with God redeeming your past into your future. You crank up the God switch in your pause time. Remember the caterpillar going to a butterfly? The caterpillar has to sit in that cocoon, transforming and working on itself intentionally. It doesn't sit underneath a leaf resting. There's intentionality behind it. God is involved when we pause. B, ourselves are involved when we pause. It's really easy to like sit inside of a discipleship class or sit in devotions or alone time, and all of a sudden your mind starts thinking about, oh, I need to make dinner tonight. What will I have? And all of a sudden you're like three pages into your Bible and you don't remember anything what you read. Some of you guys just started smiling. I know I'm not the only one. You need to be intentional when you pause. It's intentionality. It's being present. When God spoke to Moses, he actually told him to come up on the mountain twice in the same sentence structure. He said, come up on the mountain and be on the mountain. He only said that because he wanted Moses to be there physically and mentally. When we pause in life, God doesn't want you just to go, you know what, I'm going to do this because I want to see the outcome. So I'm going to sit there. I'm going to sit in a class. I'm going to have a little book. I'm going to check off what I need to check off because there's going to be a magic thing that will happen at the end of it. No, it's a transformation. What does most colleges say when you start a class? The more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. When we pause, the more we put in it, the more we'll get out of it. Just let that sink in. C, our partner or partners. One other person needs to be involved. Has to be. There are no lone wolves on this planet in the kingdom of God. Heaven is not separated. It's not divided. It's one giant place. We're all going to be worshiping God. If you don't like someone, get over it, because you're going to be staying next to them for a while. Likewise, in pausing, it's together. It's community. There is no, I need to fix myself, and then I'll do it. There is no, I'll fix myself, and then all of a sudden on the other side, it'll just be better. No, you need someone to partner with. Paul, if you didn't know, he's really why the Christian church looks the way it is. He was the founder of what the Christian church was, the authority of God. Paul could not do it on his own in his pause, and he most certainly couldn't have done it on his own towards the end of his life when he was sitting in jail. He had writers come in. He was constantly battling in his mind with depression. You can read it in the scripture. To live is gain, to die is gain. You can go on and on. He had other people come in and speak to him and encourage him. I promise you, you can't do it on your own. You can't. You could try. If you want to go out there and try, go for it. And however long it takes, you can come back and we can have a good discussion about why that didn't work. But I promise you, I've tried it and tried it and tried it. I haven't succeeded once. It takes others. It takes accountability. It takes people to encourage you. It takes all of that. And then on the flip side, it's not just a receiving, but it's also then a pouring into. It doesn't quite work by just sitting there receiving it over and over. Can I ask this? What good is a gym if you don't have a purpose out of it? What good is it? Why would you just show up at a gym every single day? Because you like lifting weights and touching all the sweat? That's all I think about. I'm sorry. I can't derail. I'm sorry. What good is a gym if you don't have a purpose from it? You have to have a goal in mind. Either it's to look better, feel better, or you have a sport you're going towards. No one just happens upon a gym accidentally and go, oh, I just showed up here today. I may as well start doing this. No. Likewise, when we pause not just to receive, but we also pause to pour down. Don't ever mistake the fact that your end goal is to learn as much as you can from Jesus and then go into heaven. You will have missed it drastically. Don't miss it. Our partners. And number three, preventative pause. Preventative pause. I just want to talk about the vision of the church for a second. I am thrilled and excited for the year 2019. I'm trying not to hype it up too much. I am really excited for 2019. My mind is already in 2019, and I'm constantly told by the pastoral staff and my wife, you need to be present here. You're like mentally functioning in 2019. You can hear the held down laughter. But 2019, where we're headed, we can't get there and sustain it without intentionally pausing right now as our church. We can't get there. Because 2019, that's when we start running forward with our purpose journey, with being able to teach people, train people, give people insight of what their purpose looks like. But we can't get there without 2018. We can't get there without this sermon series. We can't get there without the purpose journey workshops that we have. We can't get there without it. And I can promise you, the devil, the enemy, will stop at nothing to try to prevent you from getting there with us. Do you really think the enemy wants you to be excited and joyful, praising and worshiping, reading your Bible, and teaching people about that? The answer is no. Doesn't want that. He's a sore loser, and he wants other people to become losers with him. And I felt I'd be at a miss if I didn't share a few tactics that he likes to do to prevent us from moving forward with our pauses in our life. Because he knows that when a believer intentionally stops at the foot of Jesus, nothing good will come. So when we pause and we start speaking to our children and our adopted children and our spiritual children, kids start breaking free of bondage. Women and men actually start stepping up to be the warriors that we are called to be. Pauses transform. Preventative pauses. A, busyness. Busyness. The devil will lie to you about busyness till you are so busy that you accomplish nothing. Have you ever been in that situation? You are more busy than anything on this planet, but at the end of the day, you will feel like you have accomplished nothing. Sometimes you can't even account for it like 1 minute of the day. It's just gone. Busyness. Do not allow the enemy to fill up your life with busyness that is creating nothing. Don't allow it. Be intentional with your time. Do not allow the enemy to say for 1 minute and lie to you for 1 minute that busyness is a way of life. Don't allow it. B, frustration. Frustration. This is all encompassing of you will get frustrated. You'll get frustrated at me at some point. I promise you. You'll get frustrated at a believer at some point. I promise you. You'll get frustrated at people that love Jesus with all their heart. You will get frustrated. But your response to that frustration is what the enemy's after. It's guaranteed that you will be frustrated. Like that's not once you sing kumbaya, you're good. That's not how it works. You will be frustrated. We all get frustrated. The question is, how do you respond to frustration? Do you sit there and just let it eat away at your mind? Just making a wreck with all your available thought, all the bandwidth you have in your life is sucked up in frustration? Or will you allow it to wash away? Will you just let it go? Will you just let your frustrations over things and people just go? One great way to accomplish that is you start lifting that person up in prayer and just start blessing their life. Lord, I pray that you would bless their life so ridiculous, more than anything they could hope and dream for. And when you start praying blessings over someone's life, it's hard to be frustrated with them. It is really hard. You start encouraging them. You start texting them. Oh, they bug me. Jesus loves you. So do I. Start blessing people. See, distractions. Distractions. This is all encompassing also. Distractions. Distractions from your past will try to come back up because the enemy wants to just wave in your front of your face and say, remember that sin? Remember that thing you made a mistake? How dare you think you're good enough? Try to distract you from something else. The enemy is just scared that you're going to redeem that past and flip it on around on him. The enemy just has so much fear over what you can become. He'll stop at nothing to distract you from it. D, time. Time. Oh, I don't have enough time for that. I don't have enough time for that. I don't have a tough time for that. I'm so busy. I don't have time. I want to give a time example right now, and just hear me out. Because a lot of times, people just don't know how to manage time. We all actually have the exact same amount of time. We all do. Every single minute, we all share it. But how you manage your time is drastically different. I remember my last semester at college? Do I remember, my wife says. Well, I was taking 24 units of college. We were engaged to be married. I was working, I had a job, and I was volunteer pastoring. I was able to do it all. Some areas, not so effective. Some areas, very effective. But I was and I remember asking this one student, he was 19 or 20, and I was like, hey, could you please help out with the youth group? You have this really good skill set, and I really think you would fit well. You'd be blessed, and you'd bless students. And he's like, I'm just so busy. I don't have time. I don't have time. I was like, well, can I do a time audit with you? Can I look at your time with you and see if we can figure out a way? Because, you know, I need his help really bad. And I was like, well, what do you got going on? What's happening right now? It's like, well, I'm taking one class at college. Okay. Got one class at college going on. How much are you working right now? Like, are you doing overtime? Well, I don't have a job. Okay. So you helping your roommates out with doing stuff so you can try to pay for rent? I live with my parents. So what are you doing with your life right now? Seems like you got a lot of time. Well, I need to make sure I catch up on my shows and my movies and my video games. Oh. How much time are you putting into that? Well, I sleep about 4 to 5 hours each night. And I was like, so this much is all. Can we take a section? Well, I can't let that go. You need to stop being distracted, okay? you need to you have time. You got all the time in the world. You have more time than anyone else got. Time. The devil will lie to you and make you think that your time is so packed out that you have no time to spare for a pausing moment, because if you happen to get a pause in your life, your entire life will be switched around. The devil will lie to you saying, oh, I just don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. Let me do a time audit with you. Help it out. We'll do some time management. E, weariness. Weariness. I'm just so tired. I just can't do this. Falling asleep. I'm so exhausted all the time. Well, there's an audit for that too. There are energies that you will be spending in areas of your life that you do not need to be spending energies into. You'll be spinning wheels in aspects of your life that you need to identify and stop doing that. Did you know, when I grew up in Oregon, and there was this thing called rain out there, and so why is that funny? I see rain like twice here, okay? And we had this thing called mud, rain mixed with dirt. We have dirt out here. And cars would just get stuck a lot. Do you know that the worst thing you can do is floor the gas when you're on mud, and you just start sinking deeper and deeper and deeper until you're just stuck. There is no getting out of it. One of the things that they say you can do is if you take a board, you could put it underneath your wheel and just put a little bit of gas, and it'll help you climb out. Or put sand or kitty litter in your trunk, and you pour that around your tire, and you can just go slowly out. You know, it takes 1 ounce of energy of a car to get out at just slow speed when you have something else aiding it. But when it's all on its own, it doesn't matter how much energy you put into it, it's going to get tired and worn out, and you're going to spend all your gasoline in your car. You have to go fill it up. Same with energy. When you take a third-party source, little kitty litter, little sand, little board, that equates to someone else helping you out, a resource that someone else might be really good at time management or energy management, and say, you know what? You're really spinning your wheel on this. Why don't we just do this little solution? Just little nudge. A fresh set of eyes will make all the difference in weariness in your life. Just a little bit. Bring someone else who's really good at that area and say, listen, can we just talk? I am spinning my gears. A lot of weariness stems from, this is just something the Holy Spirit's put in my spirit to share right now. Weariness a lot of times comes from, you will think that you're required to do something because everyone else is doing it, and you'll spin your wheels over and over to be like everyone else, and the root cause is just simply because you don't know who you are, whose you are, and you don't have a purpose in your life yet. You will just spin your wheels over and over and over and over and over. Well, every woman in my lineage cooks amazing, so I have to spin all my wheels trying to cook, and it just never works out, and you're just cooking and cooking, and spinning it, you just become weary from it. Who said you have to be an amazing cook? Who said that? You just don't know who you are yet. Stop spinning your wheels. Maybe there's someone else in your life who just wants to cook, and you're really good at what you do, so just do who you are. Weariness. I want to end on one of the verses that I absolutely love. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, most times it just ends right there when people quote it. Well, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed. That verse goes on. Continues with a comma, by the way. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Weapons being busyness, frustration, distractions, time, weariness. Weapons are formed against you daily from the enemy. But they will not prosper. Comma, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. The enemy is just trying to whisper the lies to you I'm just too tired. I just don't have time. My past is too big. Can't overcome it. I'm too busy. I'm too frustrated. The enemy just keeps whispering into your mind. For some of you, he might be screaming into your mind. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No tongue that speaks out against you, you will condemn it. Listen to the latter part of the verse. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. In case you didn't catch it, we are the servants of the Lord. We have an inheritance. Comma, and their righteousness is from me, comma, says the Lord. Your righteousness, the pause, the redeeming factor, the redeeming moment is from the Lord. That is what turns it all around. Let's pray. Lord, continue speaking to us. Continue whispering to us. Lord, open up our hearts as we begin diving into what it means to pause throughout this sermon series. Begin shaking off the lies that the enemy has been whispering to us. Those weapons will not come against us anymore. Those weapons will not prosper. The busyness weapon will not prosper anymore. Lord, speak to us. Give us insight. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. You said that if anyone needs wisdom and we ask for it, you will give it to us. Give us wisdom in this season as we begin to pause in our lives. We love you, Lord. We love you. Begin transforming us just like the caterpillar to the butterfly. In your mighty name, amen.